Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Woo!
We're back, baby.
I didn't like that at all.
We are back. We're going to have to adjust the volume on that one.
Oh.
We did a live stream last week, and now we are back recording the podcast. We've been releasing them every week, and if you haven't...
I punch you right now.
Am I talking too much?
No, that was just so... That was so loud.
I have the
We are
ability.
Away from the house without kids, and you chose to do that.
Babe, this is
no,
us.
I'm
you
not
and
holding
me
your hand right now.
Conversing.
No.
Shake my hand.
I'm so mad.
Can we shake
you?
It like a if you have not listened to some of the interviews we've been releasing, you should. Okay. We have released Anil and Anna, two astronauts. This was like a crowd favorite. I didn't know how it was going to be received.
They are amazing.
It's hard to communicate how impressive these two are, but they're literally two of the around 40 active astronauts, and they're married.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing.
And chances of that happening.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
But we're back. Guys, yes. Let's put a little asterisk here. My brain is still mush. So I will try to form sentences that make sense for you. But we are now a family of five. We had a kid. And then another one and another one. And we are in the thick of it. I feel like the past 2 or 3 days, I heard you say this on the phone today. I got a glimmer of like light at the end of the tunnel.
It's been rocky roads.
It
has
been.
Maybe
rocky
we'll
roads.
Disclose more soon, but we're not there yet. We're not that out of the woods.
No.
We did take a almost 3-month paternity and maternity leave.
Yep.
So thank you for allowing us to do that. We did pre-record a lot of these episodes, and it was such special time with the kids. And also, it was necessary. It turned out that was very necessary for us to take that.
Yeah. I don't know what is more extreme or like the next level of necessary, but it was that.
Yeah, we needed that. So
even a level further than needed.
That was very
like there was no other option.
That was a very astute thing you did by setting us up like that. And
thank you.
And now we're back. So
we are back.
If you've had kids, you might be able to empathize with this. There's like a brain fog that happens. You can't really think about anything else. It's this weird fog, and you're not thinking straight. Just like you could clearly tell by me speaking weird. Everything is weird. I see other people and I don't know how to socialize. It's almost like a pandemic vibe.
I know. I do want to say this though. I know we are beyond blessed. We are beyond blessed to have been able to have taken a paternity leave this long. We are beyond blessed to have help, to have grandparents close to us, all these things. But I did read the statistic in the thick of maternity leave that probably sent me into a black hole tailspin of sadness. Because it said that the average American mother goes back to work 5 weeks postpartum, and the average American baby gets put into daycare at 5 weeks old. And that is just like so wrong on so many levels. And I don't know how to fix it. So I'll leave it at that. But it needs to be fixed.
Sean, to her credit, has been brainstorming ways that we could maybe help make a dent in that problem.
Ugh, yeah.
And so stay tuned. I think there will be a big push that we do this year that we would love your help, support, and feedback on. And we should have more information on that in around 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I think doing what we're about to announce will set us up
hopefully.
To hopefully maybe like...
Support
yeah.
moms and dads and families a little
yes.
bit better.
Anyway, back to today's episode. We posted on Instagram and
asked it.
Stop. We asked you all to send in questions that you had for us now that we're a family of five.
Yeah.
And we got a lot. We got quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many good ones.
Also, I do want to say, you guys have been the best. Super supportive. Excited for our family. Been in this journey with us. So thank you.
Thank you. I am researching right now for my PhD, online communities and subcultures, because I've realized that there is the toxic side of the internet.
Yeah.
And you go on Twitter, that's kind of like a toxic platform. You go Reddit. On Reddit, it's like same vibe. But boy, we have this amazing group that for whatever reason has been attracted to our content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this, I feel like this is how social media should be. So thank you for being a part of that. We are honored to also be a part of that. And man, we have fun. So anyway, we haven't, what?
Nothing. I'm delusional, delirious. I just saw, we haven't seen these questions. Just so you guys know, we collected them from social media, from Instagram. And I just got a glimpse at the first one and I'm chuckling at like us trying to attempt these answers.
Oh, geez, I'm nervous now. In full transparency, we are still trying to figure this out ourselves. So don't view this as advice as much as war stories, all right? Shall we jump into it?
Yeah.
Okay, these are from Sean's Instagram. So the first question is, how would you compare the transition of 0 to 1, 1 to 2, and then 2 to 3 kids, and what's the hardest transition?
You see why I'm giggling? It's a little bit all over the place. I still believe the very hardest transition, I don't want to speak for us, but I think for us, I'll speak for me. For me, was 0 to 1. 0 to 1 was by far the most massive life change, identity change transition that I went through. I would say after that, I don't know. I still think, even though we've had some really hard times with this baby, just trying to figure out us and him and everything, I still think 0 to 1 was the hardest. Then it was 1 to 2, getting used to multiples. And then it was 2 to 3. Mm. What would you say?
I agree 0 to 1 was the hardest. There's just so many new things. And it really is the end of one chapter of your life and the beginning of another. Mm-hmm. And there's like a lot of things that come with that. Ramifications, like schedule changes, and so that it's a massive shift. I heard someone mm-hmm. describe 2 to 3 as being harder on the dad.
Yeah.
Is that what you were about to say?
Yeah.
Because now usually the day looks like me spending time with our two older kids and Sean's with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like
it's a bigger shift for you than just having like a second kid.
But by the way, we're having a blast.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun with those kids.
I think the way you word it might be misinterpreted. It's not like harder on the dad than like the mom giving birth and stuff. It's just like, it's a large transition for a father when you go to 3, because it's no longer like, I've got one, you've got one. It's like, dad, you have to take 2 for the first 3 months while I'm figuring out an infant.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been a huge transition for you, but you've been amazing.
But I'm curious for your guys' feedback too, if you're commenting on YouTube, what your experience has been. I want to do like a poll formally for people that have 3 kids and ask them this, because some people say 2 to 3 wrecks their life, which maybe was close to our experience. And some people say 2 to 3 is nothing, which has definitely not been our experience. So
I want to fill this drama we're alluding to. We'll definitely talk about it more and more. But something that Andrew and I have noticed with kids is like with each transition, 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, there is this phase of transition where you kind of lose husband and wife for a while, because you're mom and dad and you're in this big transition and transitions are hard. So we're just still trying to figure out the transition of husband and wife again and get our groove back. But we're getting there.
I will say, for men listening, I think I've come to the realization that Sean, 95% of her mental bandwidth, I think, is consumed with the baby.
Yes.
And so it's like, that just is something to be aware of. Take it for what it's worth. Second question. How do you fit in workouts with 3 kids? It feels like I'll never have time again.
Mm.
I think we'll do a day in the life with 3 kids on our main YouTube channel. How have you fitted in?
Again, this is a luxury because I know our lifestyle is different. Since I have been staying home, been doing more of like the stay-at-home mom situation, I find time when the baby is napping and you're able to take the bigs or something. So it's usually during a nap time, or I've done workouts with him before strapped to me. But usually in the morning during like a lull or while the bigs are napping. By the way, you'll start hearing our verbiage that we've adopted. Drew and Jet, the 4 and 2 year old, are our, we call them the bigs. And then Bear, our babe, the baby is.
They're kind of separate by dependency. Drew and Jet are still dependent, but in a much different way. Than,
have you noticed than that when we go to bed? Yeah. It's like, who's got the bigs?
Yeah, we haven't talked about that. That's funny. I'm actually curious to do this breakdown. So our kids go to like mommy and me classes for 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And so that's maybe 18 hours per week that we have with the bigs out of the house. And then of that 18 hours, Bear sleeps for maybe 6 of the hours in those windows. So you probably have a 6-hour window for you to do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're like breastfeeding. And then the weekends.
You usually do the early morning though.
I usually do early morning. It does get a little dicey because the kids' sleep schedule is fluctuating. So, like, you don't want to start a workout and then stop it. So, we've worked out less for sure. It's not the priority. There's phases for everything.
Mm-hmm. I saw on Instagram somewhere, it was, like, the whole, like, eras. I'm in my whatever era. It was, like, I'm in my new mom era or new dad era where it's, like, I'm not going to be the most fit. I'm not going to be the most regimented. I'm not going to be the most social, but that's okay.
I really feel that way. I think you will have time again for whoever wrote that question. It might just be like, by the time our kids get to Drew's age, like 3 or 4, you have time, you know, they'll do activities and then.
We won't get this time back.
I don't want that.
Number 3, were we shocked by the gender of Bear? Did we secretly have a preference?
I was shocked. I could not believe it. I thought this was a baby girl through and through. I thought I saw a sneak peek of the nursery and I thought I saw pink. So I literally had to triple check when they pulled the baby out.
And I it took you a while.
I was like, is that the umbilical? What is that the umbilical cord or no way it's a boy. And now I cannot imagine it any other way.
I know. I couldn't either. I had a mom feeling that it was a boy, but I don't know if I could tell. I think my mind just went to a boy. I didn't secretly have a preference. I was more scared of having a second girl than I was of having a boy. And that's just because Drew's my first. I have a harder time dealing with emotion versus physicality. Just everything. Girls scare me as far as middle school, high school, drama, emotions, heartache.
Yeah.
Which I'll still deal with my boys too, but
just feel a little different. It's almost like this is, if I was gonna draw up our family before we started having kids, this is exactly what I wanted. It's amazing how it panned out. I'm really thankful. 4, are the older kids jealous of Bear, and if so, how do you handle that? This is something we've been really conscious of, to Sean's credit. I think initially there was some, I guess, curiosity about how things would pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew had some moments where she would like really want our attention. But really, I think we've done a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
Sean will sit there and breastfeed and be giving the kids attention. And that's really difficult to do, to be honest.
I almost lose my mind every morning.
It's
there's this like, I don't know why it's the routine. It's adorable and it's so sweet. So to back up for a second, our kids adore Bear. They have way far exceeded our expectations in loving him and wanting to be a part of being siblings and everything. They are so good with him. There is a little bit of jealousy, but I wouldn't say it's been bad at all. But every morning at 7 a.m. when Bear wakes up and the kids wake up, I sit on the couch and try to nurse Bear. And I have Drew on one side, like literally almost cheek to cheek, and Jet on the other side, almost cheek to cheek. And they're just like at the top of their lungs, like, oh, good morning, Bear. Oh my gosh. And they're like touching his face and like pulling on me. And like, and it's so sweet, but it is so overstimulating and claustrophobic that I want to jump out of my skin.
Yeah.
But it's so sweet.
There have been a lot of temptations for us to say no to the big kids a lot. Yeah. And it's hard to not do that when they're like all over the baby. But instead of saying no, we've been trying to like ask them to do something, mm-hmm. involve them in helping. So, hey, Drew, you know, when she's all over him, can you go get brother a pacifier? Or can you go get mm-hmm. his milk or a blanket or whatever? And then they feel like they're a part of the whole thing. So they've been great, to be honest.
We also, one other little thing that I think was one of the greatest pieces of advice that I was given by our pediatrician when we had Jet, so when we had our second, was whenever you have a kid, change the possession to, how do I word that, to like your children. So instead of saying mommy's having a baby, I need to feed my baby, the baby, whatever, everything belongs to your children. So mommy's having your brother. I'm going to go pick up your brother from the hospital. Your brother is so excited to meet you. Like making it their possession puts it less on like something to be jealous about because it's theirs, not mine.
That's good.
Yeah. If that makes sense.
What's been the biggest adjustment you didn't expect? What are you smiling for?
Again, we'll talk about this when we figured it out, but we've already had two kids. We've noticed that it puts a strain on us, just like readjustments. I thought we would kind of have had it figured out.
Isn't it so humbling? It's like, dude, we've done this. We've had a kid before, but we've not had this kid before.
We haven't.
So I think the biggest adjustment for me is our other two kids. I think if there were any issues, it was sleep related. Drew was bottle fed, and that was kind of a unique challenge. But this one, Bear has slept like a champ, really, since the beginning. But he hasn't really been eating when he's up. So he's like the awake time is not as fun and tender as I remember it being, because there's just been like, hey, we got to make sure this kid's eating.
So
it's been precious.
We'll also give you more of like his whole story and journey, but he was our first like colicky baby, which we did not expect. Went through a bunch of things just trying to figure out what his little things were that we needed to work on. He had a tongue and lip tie that we ended up getting released, which really helped, if not fixed the problem. But it was 6 really long weeks of trying to figure out why our little guy was so unhappy all the time.
That was a big adjustment.
Oh, that was really hard.
All right. How do you equally divide your attention and love between the three kids and each other? I don't think we've done a great job at dividing attention between each other. What about you?
Between you and I?
Yeah.
With the kids?
We've still done date night, but it's like so much of your attention is going to the kids.
I read that completely.
I think between each other, like if we have 100% attention, how do we divide it between me to you and me to the three kids? Really, it's been me with the two big kids.
Yeah.
For
me with the baby.
Yeah. And then we do date nights, which honestly, I again can't imagine the past 3 months if we didn't do date nights, how much
farther apart we would be.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
We haven't really figured this out. We don't equally divide it yet. And I think that's not because we don't want to. It's just because we're still in a transition phase of trying to figure it out. In full transparency, I'm not spending enough time with you. I'm also not spending enough time with the bigs. Like, I miss my big kids desperately. But this phase of life, this transition phase, demands more, a lot more one-on-one time with me and Bear than it does with me and the bigs, and vice versa. I've seen that you haven't been able to spend as much time with Bear, and it's hard. especially given all the stuff we've had to figure out with him. You haven't spent as much time with me, but you get a lot of time with the bigs. So it's like,
that's what I mean. When Bear's awake time isn't as fun, it's because I actually like,
yeah,
it's usually he's up and he's trying to figure out eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not up. He's up and I get to play with him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been tough. Mm-hmm. I want to spend time with him.
I
think
I've
babies,
seen that from you.
I freaking love babies.
I know.
Dare I also include in this that we haven't figured out how you can just spend time with you and divide your attention.
Yeah.
I think that's really critically important. I don't know when the shift occurs from being super baby focused to, like, you know, people talk about the effect of when your kids are old and out of the house, you don't know who you are anymore as a parent. The way to prevent that is slowly from the beginning, making sure that you are investing in friends and vice versa, friends investing in you. So I want you to know that I'm here to support you in that. If you want to put anything on the schedule, any trips on the schedule,
I know, baby.
I'll make it happen.
I know that. And I know you support me so much in that area. And I know we've talked about this before. And I keep telling Andrew that I just don't feel ready for that. But I want it. I really want it. I want my time to me to like regain my sanity. But there's this weird thing that I'm currently dealing with, which is Bear still needs me a lot. And we're still trying to figure out breastfeeding and his colic and like latching and all these things. But we're just now starting to get him into a schedule, into the groove, and he's progressing and doing so well and sleeping well. So now that's freeing up some time. I'm seeing glimpses of this time, which is amazing. But because I so desperately miss the bigs,
yeah,
and I haven't been able to spend time with them, that free time now, I just want to spend with them.
So this will almost get harder to divide your attention.
But then that little time will free up, and it's like, oh, now I want to spend time with my husband. So it's like you keep going down that.
You and I,
which
have,
is daunting, because like I'm like, maybe I don't get me back for a while. But I also need it.
You and I thrive when we're away for even a half hour.
We do.
And you're like, hey, I found this new song and I went on a drive, or I found this new park, you know, even a half hour. And it's not about like self-love, self-care and the glorification of that. I think that's probably part of it, but it's such a unique challenge as a parent, especially with a newborn. You have such small fragmented windows randomly dispersed throughout the day where it's like, okay, the baby's down for a nap for 10-15 minutes, what I want to do, and then you just build this habit of like going on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really most of our videos, we talk about trying to meet parents in that phase of like, hey, let's bring a smile or a thought to your day while you're in these random moments of respite. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be a slow progression away from refreshing your Instagram feed to recharging your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
we'll get there. Number 7. What would Bear's name have been if he was a girl?
Do you want to share that? Are we gonna have any more kids?
I don't think we are, baby.
You want to share it?
Yeah, why not?
All right. I can't believe we're sharing this, but the name that we were gonna have for
still
girl,
use it,
I think is so epic. And I'm so excited to share it. Unexpected.
Yeah.
We both lit up, though, when we heard this name.
We did.
And you go ahead, share it.
If we were going to have a little girl, her name is going to be Goldie Jean East.
GoldieGene East.
Yeah. Goldie Jean.
Yeah.
My dad's middle name is Eugene. And it's been a long family name.
If you haven't listened to our episode on how to name a baby, please go do that.
She didn't guess that one.
She did not guess that one, but I think she was close.
I think she was close. So.
But we definitely are embracing the full millennial odd name vibe.
Yeah. Any particular reason we didn't opt for a minivan?
Yeah, what the heck, Sean?
I refuse to drive one. I'm sorry. That is just on me.
It's an identity thing for you?
It's an identity thing, and it's fine.
Why don't we make a minivan that's like, really attractive to drive? Is that
called an SUV?
No, it's not. It's totally different thing. Sliding doors.
Wait, my new dream car, guys. I'm trying to convince Andrew to let me get one and trade in our Yukon already. Is the new Lexus GX, but like the off-roading one.
It's so pretty.
Great.
Cool. Okay. Number 9, growing your family. Do you find it harder to keep relationships with friends who don't have kids?
100%. Yes.
You don't get it.
Dude. 100%. Let's try to just unpack this a little bit. The one, we talk about how parenting with some of our friends has like separated us from even when they have kids. Because the style differences really get amplified. Oh, you're really into like organic food. Well, we're just somewhat into organic food. And so you just naturally spend less time because like you don't want to go to the same restaurants. You don't want to go over and cook. That's like a weird thing. And that organic food is like not even the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
That expands into whatever, cloth diapers and what schools you go to and sleep, what shows
training.
You make.
Yeah. It's just, your styles kind of separate you.
Because this is how the conversation goes. It's like, are you sleep training your kid? No, I heard that there's a study that makes kids worse off.
Both parties feel isolated.
Awkward, and then you're like, we're not going to refresh this. We're not going to renew this friendship. So that's one thing. But then I think as a parent, I have doubled down on like, I don't know, you take in some ways life more seriously.
Yeah.
And also the scheduling just gets hard.
Gosh.
So like I'll get invited. Hey, you want to, by one of my buddies doesn't have kids. He's like, you want to come hang at 5? I'm like, in no world will I ever be able to hang out. I can hang out before 7 a.m. on a good day.
Or after 7 p.m.
Or after 7 p.m. And that's it. And we go to bed at no joke.
Or if there's like an exception to an event or like a guy's night or whatever that's like on the schedule. But like on a whim, that's very difficult.
And we go to bed at 8:15. So it's like the windows of time is just so small.
But people who don't have kids, it's hard to understand.
You just like, it's like it's both philosophical differences, time differences.
And there's also like style differences too. If I remember one of my friends when she started having kids and stuff, I'd be like, I would get offended because she wouldn't text back. It'd be hard to get a hold of her. She would never come over to game nights. And then you have kids. I'm like, oh, I totally get it. Like, I'm not answering your call. If it's your call or my kids, it's going to be my kid. Like, it's just.
You're like more hectic around the house, but then you're also like, I don't want to be on my phone you don't want to be away from the kids, you know? Like you want to spend time. It's such a precious phase.
Yeah.
So yes, we have spent less time with them.
How are we keeping the memory of dad alive with our kids? Oh, I think we're doing a great job.
I'm really thankful. Well, Drew has a phenomenal memory.
Yeah.
There's been a couple things that she's brought up from like a year ago. So when she was 3 and a half that she still remembers. And talks about. We also have a drawing that Sean had commissioned by Richard Bowers that is an apple tree, which
like
was
the center of our household
with bees, and that's all things from my experience with my dad. And so Drew will look at that and ask about Papa, and hey, you remember when we used to pick apples with him? We talk about him often, and that's kind of what I mean by taking life more seriously.
Yeah.
It's like you realize that this is a legacy and that affects your day to day in little ways. So it's like, I want to be more intentional with what I'm speaking to my kids about. We'll talk about Papa on the way to school. And it just built in that sense. I don't know if that made sense, but I'm really thankful for Sean's support and her active role in making sure that Papa is remembered by our kids. How do you keep the newborn healthy and away from all the toddler germs? We haven't talked about this, one of my frustrations with you, because also appreciation. This is a style difference that you and I have, is the kids would be all up in the baby's face and Sean a couple dozen times a day. No, 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 no. And you would get frustrated. And I'm like, yo, you know what? Who cares? And that's also not right. But there's some sweet spot in between. I'm optimistic. Should I stop talking?
No, it's just style differences. It's the difference of being a postpartum mom versus a postpartum dad. And it's just different.
Do you forgive me?
I do. It's okay. I don't go to the ends of the earth where it's like, take my toddlers out of school, quarantine them for a few weeks before the baby arrives, which is very, very common, which is totally fine. We don't really keep the toddlers away from the baby. Yes, they're all up in their face. At the end of the day, the first weeks are hard because you're so protective and you're so scared. And the pediatrician has told you there's so many things that they can get, and it's scary and all these things. But I just tried to tell myself, like, I'm breastfeeding him, which is one of the best things I personally in my journey can do for him. And as long as our kids aren't spiking a massive fever and super sick, I'll try to like bite my tongue and be okay with it and just teach them, let's kiss his feet, let's kiss his belly, let's kiss the top of his head, let's just not try to lick his face.
Yeah, but practically we have like the little Stokie holder that we put the baby, we do try to elevate the kid as much as possible, and that's maybe the only practical thing we do other than telling the kids, give them space.
It was also hard because like a week or two after he was born, we did Christmas with extended family, 10 kids under the age of 10 or under the age of 6 they were all sick. They all had like the flu and everything. And
yo, December babies are hard. December babies are tough. It's cold. You don't go outside. You don't really get the sunlight.
Everyone's
which is
sick.
Tough.
It was, it was stressful, but we're making it through, guys.
Okay, what is is there anything you were really nervous about being a family of 5 that actually hasn't been that bad? All right, as a kid, I used to love when my parents would sit down and play a game with us or do any activity. And right here in our hands, we have the KiwiCo box, which is the activity of all activities for young kids.
The colorful chemistry set, to be specific. So with Drew and Jet and Bear, we try to have really intentional playtime. And that's hard because they're all different ages and kind of in different developmental kind of phases of life. I love with KiwiCo that each month we get boxes specific to their ages and kind of like the activity development phase that they're in. So each box, this one's the colorful chemistry set. This has to do with science, but especially with Bear, it can be really hard with a 4-month-old to know like how to interact with him where he needs to be at 4 months old. And I love in these crates, they actually have cards that say, here are activities or things you can do specific to Bear that will help him identify colors or whatever it is. I love KiwiCo.
There's always something new for kids to discover, like learning about the science of ice cream, engineering robots, or doing science experiments, which our kids have loved recently. Sean is currently holding, as she said, the colorful chemistry kit, which has provided hours of entertainment for our kids. They look forward to their new crate every month, and this one kept them really engaged. We got to experiment with mixing oil and water, mixing different colors, and watching how different things react. It was so fun. We basically created our own little chemistry lab with the kids, and we could feel their excitement when they got to play around and mix things together. Plus, it barely made a mess, so it was really quick to clean up and to use again another day. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you, so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month of any crate at KiwiCo.com when you use code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code COUPLE. 1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled BABBEL.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply. I don't know if I was nervous. I was really pumped for the third kid, and I think it's...
No.
I think I kind of fight wanting Bear to already be older because I'm having so much fun with the 4 and 2-year-old.
I get that.
So much fun. So it's like, I want him to be a part of that.
I feel that too. I already feel like he's missing out, and I feel like we're missing out on like the play time with all of us already because... Yeah. He's still an infant and I can't like jump in the pool with him yet or, you know, whatever. But no, nothing I was really nervous about.
I could see how having twins would be really difficult.
Bruh.
Yeah, that would be tough. That would be tough. Yeah. Because people talk about that, you know, your nerves for the transition 2 to 3 and you lose man-to-man coverage. I haven't really felt that.
No. Like,
but if you had two young babies that aren't as fun to play with as our 4 and 2-year-old, that would be tough.
Yeah.
What's the most rewarding thing about being a parent? I talk about this all the time. The interesting thing about communicating this as a parent is that the tough things in parenting are really tangible, easy to grasp things. Hey, you're not sleeping as much. Oh, you can't go out because you got to put the baby down to sleep. Oh, you need to get babysit. All these things. It's a financial cost. But the benefits of it are a little more intangible. But I think just like everything else in life, the best things come slowly over time. And so it's like, oh, whatever. It's exponentially more rewarding than these things I'm about to mention, but fitness goals, it doesn't happen overnight. But you look back 5 years down the road and you're like, wow, I'm actually pretty fit. Or financially, it's like, it doesn't feel that rewarding to slowly contribute month to month to your investment account, but fast forward 5 years and it's like incredibly rewarding. As a parent, it's like, dude, you're stacking these days and these memories. And then you see Drew now learns how to draw this and she had she knows how to draw her name now.
I know.
That seems like such an obvious small thing for those people listening. But as a parent, when you know that she didn't even know how to hold a pencil 2 years ago, you're like, what the frick? That blows your mind. Anyway, I'm done.
Are you going to start crying?
I'm just hyped.
Seeing these little tiny humans become people and have character and quirks to them and personalities and preferences and opinions and seeing them learn and develop and grow is so cool. It's just so cool.
And equally coupled with that is to see your partner step up and again, kind of take life in this more serious tone. It's really meaningful. That's the word that comes to mind.
How do you keep the older kids quiet when the newborn has to nap? Or does the third baby just get used to the noise? He sleeps better when they're screaming.
Yeah, dude, no joke.
If it's silent, he doesn't sleep.
He's just used to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like in the third baby's genes or if they're used to it because they've been conditioned to it.
If you're trying to keep toddlers quiet so a baby can sleep, that baby ain't never going
to
sleep.
We're about to post a short that I just find so humorous. When we had Drew, our first kid, it was like you had to have the sound machine on. It had to be dark. We had the blankets and everything. We had all these like portable things to make sure the conditions were perfect. And now it's like, it's chaos and Bear's asleep.
Yeah.
Logistically, how do you do bath time and bedtime with 3 kids?
I think this might have been what I was most nervous about because I was afraid of losing that quality time with our bigs, putting them down. The schedule has kind of just worked out. I don't know how.
No, it's taken the first 7 weeks were not like this, but now we're in this really fun.
We're in a really fun phase right now at 12 weeks where the bigs will do bath time bedtime with them together, like all of us together, around 7 o'clock. As soon as we get them put down, then we'll take Bear into his room. We'll do his bath time and his bedtime routine and put him to sleep, which is really fun.
Yeah, so we get Bear time, which is really nice because we realize he's your third kid, probably our last kid. We haven't got a lot of solo time with him as a baby.
We've
only done a bath with all three of them one time. It gets a little chaotic, a little stressful.
We're not there yet.
And one of us usually holds the baby while the other person puts PJs and diapers and all the things on, and then we'll divide and conquer from there for bedtime.
As a parent, I spend more time scrolling through the TV and like all of the programs trying to find kid-friendly content than I would care to admit to. And it's really hard to find something that checks all of the boxes and is like good morals, good values, teaches your kids good things,
but also is entertaining.
It's impossible to always find, and it takes so much effort, until we found the streaming service Minnow.
Minnow is the premier streaming service for kids that offers faith-based and values-driven content that parents can always trust. We are so excited to be partnering with Minnow because we truly believe in this company and what they stand for.
Minnow has tons of shows, movies, and devotionals that touch on a variety of topics to keep your kids engaged while also filling their minds with what matters most.
Some of our kids' favorite shows include VeggieTales, classic, I grew up on it, Coco Talk, they got the Laugh and Grow Bible series. There's so much good stuff on there. Over 3,000 different videos that your kid will love and you can trust.
It's perfect for family movie nights, sick days, or just some downtime. And let me tell you, guys, I have notes in so many places around our house, on my phones, of blacklisted shows. You'd never have to worry about that with Minnow. It's all amazing content.
Plus, all their shows and movies are screened by a team of parents, pastors, and educators to ensure that they're age-appropriate, entertaining, and align with faith-based values. I love that we never have to worry about questionable content or ads popping up because we know that Minnow has our kids' best interests in mind. Not to mention that the shows are cute, catchy, and super fun. Our kids love them.
Whether you're a parent looking for content to watch together as a family or just need a break and want to be able to press play and feel okay, try Minnow.
We stream Minnow in our house and we want you to do the same. Head to gominnow.com and use the code FAMILYMADE to get your first month for free.
That's gominnow.com/FAMILYMADE. For one free month of Minnow streaming service.
If you want shows that are as entertaining and engaging as everything else, but that reflect your values and teach your kids about the things that actually matter, sign up for Minnow today.
But usually someone has the baby and the other person's like taking care of the bigs, or we're all like passing the baby off back and forth. And
I will say, pro tip for bath time, try to do all the... You know, you could read books to them while they're in the bath. You could brush their teeth while they're in the bath. Try to batch it all. And at least our boy is sprinting back and forth until he's in the bed.
Literally every night.
So when he's in the bath, it's kind of easier to just knock all that stuff out. How do you integrate faith into your everyday life for the little ones?
Prayers when we wake up, prayers when we go to bed, prayers before meals, Sunday school. We do Bible stories before bed. Sunday morning before church, we'll watch VeggieTales or Minnow. And then I would say more so with Drew because of her age. Nightmares and stuff have started to become a thing. Fears. She talked about a nightmare the other night about monsters or volcanoes, and lava was a fear at one point. And so integrating faith and God, courage, you know, all of this stuff into those conversations before bedtime. Like, God's got you, he's surrounding you, he's protecting you, and it sparks a lot of conversation.
Minnow really has been integral in that. If you haven't checked them out, it's a kids Christian streaming service. And it just makes you realize that the Bible really has some good values to teach, whether you're into religion or not. And it's like a great entry point with stories involved and everything. But yeah, we just start each day with, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. That's our prayer. And then we end each day with the Lord's Prayer. We do quick.
Which both the kids can say start to finish, which is wild.
So it's not like, it doesn't overwhelm the day. We don't overdo it, but I think it's integral to use the word from the question.
Yeah.
Do you always recommend living by family when you have kids? And what would you do if Sean's parents didn't live by?
How I would answer this question is, do I always recommend living close to family? Before kids, I was going to say, like, I don't think it matters. After kids, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
And if my parents didn't live by, I think we would live in Indy.
Yeah, you have a whole new perspective. Mm-hmm. Again, okay, so we talked about the stylistic differences. And then you realize that, okay, the style that I'm drawn to is because of the family I grew up in.
Yeah.
And so naturally the conversations I want to have and like the feedback I get is easier and more efficient with the family I came from. And then, yeah, I mean, having intergenerational families live in a close proximity is game changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like everyone kind of ultimately ends up there at some point.
Yeah.
Where it's, oh, hey, we're moving back to be by my parents. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Time is short. All right, we got three more.
Yeah.
Are your kids in a mommy or daddy phase right now? And does this change often? It does change often.
It does change.
I think every 6 months.
Yeah. And it also is like, it depends on the scenario. So like, we're in a constant mommy is comfort, daddy is play. That's just kind of like how it is. But I would say the bigs are in a daddy phase, which makes sense because I'm not there for them right now. Is it hard? Yeah. I think it's hard on both sides of us.
Yeah, but sometimes it's refreshing to realize like, hey, they need me, but they don't need me that much.
Yeah.
And like, they're fine with mom.
Yeah,
and I have this selfish thing as a parent that I want them to just be dependent on me, and and like that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. As a mom, how do I deal with the overwhelming mental load of having three kids? I feel like, you know, that Instagram GIF of like Albert Einstein, where all those like
graphics,
algebraic expressions, equations are like. Roaming, that's like my head at all times. I'm like, did I forget something about school? Are they in all the activities they should be in? Has Bear eaten recently? Did he get, it's just always there. How do I deal with it? I'm still trying to figure it out. I try to write it down. I try to put calendars together, schedules together, so that more and more people can help my mental load.
It's really interesting how you answered that question, and it's logistically. That was actually really helpful for me to listen to, because there could be the emotional mental load too as a part of it.
I think to describe my brain, you know how if I get overwhelmed or angry or something, I clean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's that like being able to like organize my life allows for a lot of my mental load to like disappear.
Why are you just not telling them this now that we're...
Shouldn't you just figure it out?
That's hilarious. Thank you so much.
So like in my mental load, all the overwhelming stuff, if I can write it down and have someone else help me be like, remember, you have to drop off Valentine's gifts today or Valentine's goodies or the box. It's like that really helps. Logistically figuring things out makes me feel under control.
You should have told me that 8 years ago. Thank you.
Number 20, last one.
This is going to be the last one we answer today. Maybe we do a part two.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does our support system of close friends and family look like?
I will say we're spending less time with friends now. Yeah. I think there's naturally that's a phase. We have a lot that needs to be taken care of in our home. Transitions to figure out, new rhythms to find. We see Sean's parents 5 days a week.
Yep. Or more.
And then we try to sneak in like a weekend brunch that's important to us. We did a meal train. If you're having a baby, I would recommend that. That was that far exceeded my expectations and was way more enjoyable and meaningful than I expected it to be. To see friends often, as long or as short as you want them to, and to like give them a way to invest in you was really fun. And like, you know, it pulls you out of the fog a little bit.
I would say too, we started this probably a few months before we had Bear, but every Friday night we do pizza and a movie. And that's kind of like still our open door policy where we try to, we have consistent friends who come over with their kids for pizza and movie night.
Who just had a kid as well. So we, yeah.
Like a week ago. Yeah. But we try at least one night or day a week to do like community building with our close friends. But yeah, we're in that weird transition phase of getting in, back into our groove.
Church is really helpful, to be honest. One of the large motivations for us to go back to church was the child care there. And then we go and talk with adults for whatever, even just 10 minutes. And that makes a big difference. So it's a phase.
Yeah.
It's a phase. Okay. I feel like that's a good number. Let's do part two.
Okay.
Thank you all for listening. I love doing these, actually. I learn about you so much when we do these episodes.
I learn about you too, baby.
I think we're going to focus a lot more on just Sean and I episodes in 2024. That's been the feedback that we have received. And also, they're pretty enjoyable for me to do for that reason.
They're enjoyable for me too.
So if you have any other questions, send them in. We'll post on Instagram, so check that. Please, we're taking any and all advice, okay? Put those in the YouTube comments if you're over there.
Help us out.
And just know that we do love hearing from you guys. We don't just do this for a one-sided conversation. So chime in, chip in. We love it. And let us know what episode you want to see. So that's all we got. I'm Andrew.
I'm Sean.
For the East fam, out. All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think. Babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode, and again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.